Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we are, jumping off an hour or two of Sports Talk on WWL, AM, FM, and .com. As you heard there in the Sports Flash with Mark Menard, that Brian Windhorst of ESPN is reporting that the NBA is going to resume their season and start it with 20 teams instead of the 16 playoff teams, allowing the New Orleans Pelicans a bite at the apple, if you will. And I think they got it right. Mark, I'm going to bring you in here. And I think they got it right because, you know, you can't say as an NBA, first off, I think Zion matters here. I think that, you know, his star power matters. But you can't definitively say to the Pelicans, you wouldn't have made the playoffs. You wouldn't have been able to make that run in the final 18 games of the season.
No, not at all. I think most of the projections that we have seen of what, you know, the season was going to play out, most of them had the Pelicans by as much as 60% as being the final playoff team based on the schedules and what would have played out. Plus, you take a look at the teams that were fighting on the bubble for that spot. You know, you have the Spurs, the Trailblazers, the Grizzlies, and the Kings, and I believe the Pelicans were 7-1 against those teams. So there's a lot of argument to be made for the Pelicans having probably, if they'd been given the shot, they probably would have earned that number 8 spot. That's obviously not going to be able to happen right now. They're not going to play out the rest of the regular season. I think that that's pretty much off the table. So you have to give those teams that had a shot at that spot, you have to give them some type of way to get in. And look, I don't discount how much Damian Lillard had to do with this, because he's come out publicly and said, you know, he's not going to report to this resumption of the season if there's nothing for the Trailblazers to play for. He doesn't mind, you know, putting himself at risk of contracting the virus and all that stuff, and this is not the same thing as Major League Baseball. He's just saying he doesn't want to get on the court and play if there's nothing to play for meaningfully for the Trailblazers, and I totally understand that position.
Mark, you there? Mark?
I said, yeah, and I totally understand that position.
Oh, you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, all right.
I think I bumped the microphone button.
Okay. It just sounded like we got knocked off the air. So how would it work, Mark, is my question. So how would it be those four teams going to play around Robin to see if they can, or is it going to be the 15 and the 16? Where do they draw the line? Can you outline that, or do you know?
Well, this thing kind of seems to evolve daily, and so there's not a lot of definitive things to say about this right now, other than right now they're kind of eyeing a group stage type of plan, like what we would see in the World Cup. That looks like that's the one of the things that's on the table. So that would mean that the teams that are on that bubble would play some games in a group stage type of setting, and then the winner, I don't know if it'd be one or two winners, but, you know, the people who emerge from that would move into the traditional 16-team playoff with the rest of the league. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do with everybody else while this is going on. There's been talk about, you know, those teams could play some of their remaining regular season games against each other. Because, look, there has to be some type of warm-up for everybody that's going to be involved in this, because you can't go straight from, you know, months of inaction to all of a sudden being in the playoffs. That's just not going to work. So there has to be some type of play for these guys in actual live NBA game action. And so I would think that we're going to see that those teams that are not playing in this group stage would play some type of, I don't know if you call it exhibition ball, but they would play some type of game to warm up for what would be the postseason. And then you see this group stage of teams, you know, playing for a shot to get into the playoffs. And I think that that's the only fair way to do this, because it's been documented on this show very often about how the Pelicans kind of got a raw deal at the beginning of the year with their schedule front-loaded with a lot of nationally televised games against big-time competition, because the league thought Zion Williamson would be in those games and they wanted to get him on TV as much as possible. And then he ended up not being able to play, and it was a team that was in the beginning stages of learning to play with each other anyway. So they kind of got dealt a hand that made them the sacrificial lamb at the beginning of this season, and a lot of their easier contests were backloaded, and those are the games they didn't get to play. So I think this is a fair way to do it. I think you're giving the teams that had a shot to get into the playoffs, they're getting their shot, and we'll see what comes of it.
Mark, I'm just delighted that the Pelicans have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, because, again, you know, we're going to get to see more of Zion, right? His season was truncated by the injury, so we're going to get to see him a little bit more. And I kind of lean on what you guys, you NBA experts or you NBA fans say all the time about the Pelicans, and that is that there was a team that was, you know, the chemistry was starting to brew a little bit for them.
Yeah, this is a team on the rise, and look, this is a team that's got a really bright future ahead of them, and if they don't make the playoffs this season, it's not the end of the world. They're just getting started, but you could see between Lonzo and Zion, there was definitely a chemistry forming there, and I think that they're going to be one of the really intriguing and interesting tandems to watch going forward in the NBA over the next few years. I think that's going to be a really fun team, fun tandem to watch. But yeah, this is a team that was growing. And if they could get a playoff berth under their belt in their first year of you know, really being together, that's going to be a huge plus for them going forward, because NBA playoff basketball is different from NBA regular season basketball. And teams that have never experienced it usually don't go far their first time out. So for them to get a leg up on that growth process and get into the playoffs and be able to experience playoff basketball in their first year together, then going forward, that just opens up their what I would consider their championship window even more, because now you're getting that crucial growing process out of the way in a year when you're a year ahead of schedule, and now you know you've got that much more time to try to maximize your potential going forward. So I definitely want to see the team in the playoffs, but I think if they had not been even given an opportunity, that would have been a travesty for the New Orleans Pelicans, and I think it would have shown poorly on the NBA that, you know, they didn't have some type of way for these teams to get their shot.
Mark, well said, and if true, that's certainly welcome news for the New Orleans Pelicans. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. 10 Louisiana high schools are being investigated by the LHSAA. Do you trust the LHSAA to conduct a thorough and fair investigation? This is surprising. 66% are saying yes. 34% are saying no. Maybe it's Eddie Bonine voting in this poll quite often. This is Sports Talk on WWLAMFM.com. Back to the phones we go. Jeff and Chalmette, what's going on, Jeff? You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, my man. I'm very familiar with Mr. Hirsch, and to be honest with you, if this Ruiz kid is anything like a first round pick, we ought to be sitting pretty well. I'm surprised. My only question is, why did the Ravens let him go? Because he's a really multi purpose guy. He even played tight end on a couple of snaps and jumbo packages. He played guard, both tackles position. Was it a salary cap issue? Did he get tagged for drugs or something? What was the reason to let him go?
No, he doesn't have any kind of a drug issue or any kind of suspension looming. I don't know that it was necessarily a big salary cap decision. I just think that they felt like they could upgrade. And he's going to play a swing tackle position with the Saints, which means he might be in the jumbo package. And then should something happen to Ron Armstead or Ryan Ramczyk, he could play both left or right tackle. Those are that's a versatility that is coveted by the Saints. And
that's what I mean. It's like the line you might as well call our offensive line is the Transformers, because You got Pete that can switch. You got Ruiz that can switch. This kid, he's the real deal. I mean, he's not a all-pro guy, but you're talking about putting him in the jumbo package compared to the other guys that we've had. That's a big upgrade. I mean, so the other thing I want to mention is, and I told the screener the same thing. I don't know if you said it yet or not, but Carolina just picked up Apple.
Yep.
And it seems like they're going to be South. I don't know who's more south than, but I guess they're, I don't know. they're very south, but I mean, you know, the thing is, I mean everybody's sleeping on them, but they're emulating us. And I think you can ask Bobby this, but I mean, you watched the Tigers play when Brady was the offensive coordinator. You're gonna see a lot of five wide receiver sets, and it's good we got some veteran corners, maybe not great corners, but you're gonna start seeing five wide receiver sets. I don't know if Teddy's going to be a good version of the kid Burrow, but they're damn sure going to run that type of offense. So,
first off, LSU didn't run a lot of five wides. What they ran was three and four, and they kept that back in the backfield, the RPO game, quick passing game. That's what you're going to see. You're going to see the ball coming out really quickly.
Well, Burrow was at his best when he did run five wide because – They put the defense in a position where if they blitz, you're gonna have a guy open, and that's what he really
made
his
deadly against the blitz. He's deadly against the blitz.
Right.
But they didn't run a lot of five wides. They just didn't, Jeff. They got the ball out of his hands quickly, and you're gonna see the same thing with Teddy Bridgewater, and that's the ideal offense for any quarterback. Don't hold the ball.
All right. Good talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, Jeff. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Coming up next Tuesday on our Saints Hour, just got the alert from Steve Geller, Saints linebacker Demario Davis will join us for our Community Coffee Saints Hour on Tuesday. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870, text 870-870. You're right. That's a great point that I did not illustrate. Hurst will be suspended for the first four games of the season for PEDs. That is correct. Christian Semper Fi, one of the assistant coaches at Edna Carr, is a good friend of mine. I'll find out what he has to say about all this and let you know. I don't think they're going to talk to anybody. I called Bryce Brown. I asked him, and he said he's not aware of any notification that they're under an investigation, and it's contrary to what I've been told by multiple sources with knowledge of this situation. But we'll see. And look, these are all prominent programs, we would agree, the four that at least that we've talked about, Holy Cross and John Curtis, and St. Aug, and Edna Carr. I mean, Edna Carr is a powerhouse football program. And if they're found guilty of any kind of violations, there, it's laid out by Eddie Bonine that, you know, they could be suspended from participating in a sport for up to a year. So just imagine any of these four schools, one of these four schools, all of these four schools, if they're found guilty, which there's a high probability they will, not because they did something, but because of the way that they investigate, the LHSAA investigates, You might be without, you know, some of your premier programs this fall. And, you know, here's the argument I think that some schools are starting to make. If a kid wants to go on Holy Cross's campus to check out a book in a library, he's got to get his temperature checked. I mean, they've put in some great safety measures at some of these schools, in particular Holy Cross that I'm aware of, that protect people. And some of these football players are going to outside venues and getting trained probably not properly in a few instances. and they're not under the supervision of their coaches and weight training staff. So that's got to be acknowledged as well. Is the LHSAA doing that student athlete more harm than good by not allowing them to be on campus working out with their coaches who are trained on how to get these guys, keep these young men in shape and lifting protocols, lifting programs, making sure it's safe to do so? That's what you're going to start to see some of the argument. And I just wonder if the LHSAA did more harm than good by keeping them off the campuses, especially when these campuses are probably safer than some of these communal gyms that they're working out at. So there's that. Look, we'll find out more about the LHSAA and these investigations, but it just doesn't give me a lot of hope that the right thing will be done. Just on their history, it tells me that. I'm going to talk to Cameron Henry, state rep, here in a little bit, probably when I get off the air or tomorrow. Just want to pick his brain on, really, for me, I'm curious to know who audits the LHSAA and how public is it. I want to get that information because I think that's vital. Text here at 870, there will probably not even be a high school season anyway. That said, schools potentially engaged in illegal practices will not suffer a thing. Think about it. I have thought about it. There's going to be a high school football season. Whether there's fans in the stands, we don't know. But there's going to be high school football this season. If you look at the college football, the NFL, high school is going to do something similar. Maybe they don't have fans in the stands, but they're playing. They're going to play. And look, if one of these four schools or all four of these schools have been found in guilty of a violation with really good proof from the LHSAA, then I'll condemn those schools. I will rip those schools. Have no problem doing so. But it's yet to be determined based on the investigation from the LHSAA. Until I see them execute a really good investigation, it's hard for me to sing their praise. Mike and Bell Chase, what's going on, Mike? You're on WWL.
Hey, Christian. Hey, I was just calling about that. You know, I'm like you with the LHSAA, you know, and with all that stuff that happened a couple of years ago with that kid from Hornville. But if they set out a rule June the 8th, that's when we start. Everybody starts at the same time. And if some teams got a little premature and wanted to get a little leg up, that it is what it is. Now, if they don't have proof, show me the proof. But if they went ahead against other teams that are doing it by the right way, that ain't right.
I'm with you. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. If they, again, what it all boils down to is do you really believe that the LHSAA can conduct a thorough and fair investigation? Are they capable? Because their history shows us they're not. And we need them to be. We need them to be, because if these are violations, if they were organizing practices on campuses, and they can't prove that, then why are they investigating anyway? But if they can, then that should turn your attention to these programs and what they're doing and how they're doing it, and they should face a severe penalty and severe backlash.
Well, from what they're saying is they got videos. Let's see them. And I understand that if they're out there with just a couple, like I think they said something about some pro athletes and stuff out there working out, that's on their own. That's nothing to do with the school. But but if they're out there and they running, the whole team on a campus or whatever, then that's a different story,
Sure. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that.
We can't just say that the LHSAA is an evil organization trying to put people in purgatory or whatever.
Your word's not mine. Word's not mine. I didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, well, with the way you're insinuating that they're evil bunch and they're looking out to and I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to get, confrontational, But let's see what happens. And if those guys were out there organizing, that's it. That they gonna, you know. But if not, then let it, you know, then they need to go away. You know what I'm saying?
I'm totally with you. If they produce the evidence,
go ahead. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. If they produce the evidence supporting their allegations, and it's good evidence and it's a good investigation, I will sing the praises of the LHSAA. I will do it on this radio station. But my gut tells me I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have to do that. Just based on experience. Yeah, the LHSA doesn't follow their own handbook. They don't follow their own rules. That's been documented in several instances. My words to your text 87870. They are evil. Yeah, look, I didn't say one thing personal in my rant on the LHSA for nearly 2 hours. It's all facts. And it's all based on their history and what they've done, what they've led us to see. You know, they don't want anything to get in the media because the media then can shine a light on some of their ineptitude. They tell schools that. They bully them quite a bit. A text here, yeah. You will not have to sing their praises. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 87870. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk and a welcome guest, kind of last minute, Cameron Henry, state rep, joining us now. And Cam, first off, thanks for the time. And I know you guys have so many things you guys are doing right now amidst the COVID-19 stuff. And y'all are very, very busy. I appreciate you carving out some time for us. And I know you may or may not know exactly what's going on with the LHSAA, but they're investigating 10 Louisiana schools for allegedly holding illegal practices on campus during the pandemic, and they sent out an edict saying not to do so, etc. And some of the evidence that I've been able to gather is questionable, very questionable at best. I'm not asking you to comment on that, but what? And I don't want it to get confused. I don't want the Louisiana State Legislature governing the LHSAA. But what can they do to have some accountability from the LHSAA?
Well, a lot of members over the years, and obviously I've been in the House for 12 years and I'm in the Senate now. So if you hear that in the background, I apologize. We have for years, I personally have dealt with High School Athletic Association regarding a homeschooling bill, just allow homeschoolers to participate, to try out for teams. It took me 4 years to get to the legislature to try to force the High School Athletic Association to do it. Eventually, they succumb after 4 years. Usually about every year or two, someone brings a bill dealing with the High School Athletic Association because of activities like this. When you're dealing with people's children or grandchildren, they believe that there should be a greater voice than a small group of coaches or kind of a select group of individuals who handle it. We have very little oversight or authority of them, but every year, this year is different. I would imagine because of what's going on now, next year we'll have a bill to do something with the High School Athletic Association. It is unfortunately a standard practice up here that we have to deal with, because a lot of the times they seem to maybe step out of their bounds. And obviously it has an effect on children. And then when, like I would do with my children, if something's adversely affecting my children, I'm going to try to figure out what's causing it, how to make it better, who do I have to talk to. And this is when the High School Athletic Association kind of just falls on deaf ears sometimes. So it's a frustrating process, and I can absolutely appreciate everyone who's what they're going through, because many of us have had to deal with the High School Athletic Association in some form or fashion.
Cam, as I understand it, somebody would have to issue or introduce legislation that could ultimately have to rewrite the Constitution of Louisiana. That's how protected they are. Is that true?
Yes, they are considered a kind of a quasi public private agency. So we've gone as much as to prohibit them from using public facilities. There was a bill to say that they could no longer use, they couldn't use public facilities, public school facilities, because of rules that they had done in the past or actions they had taken. Members wanted to eliminate that, wanted to increase their fees, wanted just – they've thrown everything that they possibly could at this group. And they are a very – you know, they have a significant amount of friends in the legislature previously. I don't know how that looks now. Obviously, term limits has an effect. And I don't know what that – if they had the same voice that they used to have in the past. But it's a significant group, no doubt about that. But – would I be surprised if next year we don't have a piece of legislation? Yes, I'd be surprised if we don't have at least a piece of legislation. I would think we'd probably have multiple pieces of legislation dealing with this issue.
What could the legislation be? Could it be getting that on a ballot to change the Louisiana Constitution to allow the voters to decide how they should be governed?
That's probably the most difficult of the ones to get on, just because that would require 2/3 vote, both House. That would require 70 votes in the House and 26 in the Senate, which is a lot of votes. You could see someone going after other things about their ability to use public facilities if they're not going to have their own governing body, which we have done in the past, legislation we've passed. People get creative when they're trying to get the attention of this group, and that's usually when they succumb and come around to not listening to, not following every rule and every regulation we have for them, but just participating in the process and coming to grips that they have to be we're a voice of a whole bunch of people up here, and that they want to be heard. And usually it takes legislation to get their attention.
Do you know who audits them?
I don't think they are audited because and that's one of the things we have, because they don't have – I don't believe they receive state funding, and the state funding – I don't believe they receive state funding.
Is it perplexing that they can receive public school dollars but yet they have this private kind of
That's the issue. Remember, that was several years ago, and this is well before I was in the legislature, there was issues that that came, but there was some irregular spending with the gentleman who used to be in charge and was buying cigars and and no relation to me, cigars and suits and all of the kind of stuff. And that's kind of what brought their whole organization to light. But this episode, I believe it's 10 schools that they're addressing now, which will probably turn into more. This is the type of thing that stirs up legislators up here, both on the House and the Senate side, to start looking at, to kind of put some more time and more eyes on them, not to punish them for doing their job, just making sure that they're listening to all the parents' concerns and the school's concerns.
It's really just, Cameron, it's really just about accountability, and there's nobody that holds them accountable. They can't be held accountable, and that's scary for someone like me to think about.
It's very scary when you think of the number of children that they have that they oversee in athletics, and how important athletics are to those, you know, not just to the kids, but their parents and the community. It's just kind of an unknown body. They get to go out and kind of make any rules and regulations they want. And it's something that has to change. I don't think we'll do it. We have 2 days of session left, and then we're going to go in a special session to deal more with COVID. But I can see something coming up next year to probably wake them back up again.
Cameron Henry, I know you're busy. We'll let you run. Thanks for the time, for sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Louisiana State Legislator Cameron Henry. And as you heard there, you know, again, that might not appease some folks being a year away, but, I mean, are you not scared by an organization that has zero accountability? I mean, nobody can hold them accountable. And I really – you heard Cam Henry say that it's going to be hard to rewrite the Constitution and allow the taxpayers and Louisiana citizens to decide how they should be governed because of the amount of votes you would need. But I think that that's probably a little bit of a I think that could gain ground quickly. That could gain some traction quickly. If there's enough information about, and if they're highlighted enough, if there's instances of egregious misapplications of their own bylaws and the effects it has on these kids and these schools that are trying to do the right thing. I'm just pleased that at least it's on the radar. And again, don't get me confused here. I don't want the state legislators to regulate or govern the LHSAA. I don't want that. I think that the state legislators could look at other states and their models and adopt a similar one. And you know, I'm going to take a look at some across the country and find out what are the more successful ones. I know Texas has a very good one. Florida as well. I don't want politicians governing high school athletics. I don't want it. It's not healthy. It would not be a good idea. You're talking about potentially having a situation worse than what you're having now. But to at least get some answers from them, I think, is healthy. And that's scary to think about, that they don't get audited and are taking public money. That makes me really, really, really on edge, if that's true. Here they are taking public dollars, and there's no accountability to where that money's going. I think we can all kind of gather in our own heads as to what that could lead to. I'm not going to make an accusation, just simply pointing it out. This is Sports Talk on WWLAMFM.com. All right, the NFL extends the virtual offseason in hopes for coaches to return to facilities. But for the players, it's all virtual. 4th and 15 onside kick alternative proposal has been tabled by the NFL owners at their annual meetings, the summer or spring meetings, as they call it. And the Panthers agreed to terms on former Saints cornerback Eli Apple. Here's an interesting stat on Apple I think you guys would appreciate. 1 year deal with the Panthers. Joined the Saints in 2018, week 8. In a year and a half with the Saints, he's been called for 21 penalties, 11 pass interferences, and led the team last season with 11 penalties. Wonder why they didn't re-sign him. And Janoris Jenkins is an upgrade. He's better. A little older, but better. I don't know. I guess I got mixed emotions about the 4th and 15 onside kick alternative proposal, because the onside kick is what helped win the Saints the Super Bowl. The ambush, the surprise onside is a big – you can't tell the story of that game without mentioning that. There was no 4th and 15 from your own 25. I think the NFL, in an effort to legislate safety, – is up against the fine line of taking fundamental elements that fans have grown up with and making radical changes too quickly. That's why I think they probably tabled it. But I don't know. I still want the onside kick. Look, the Saints struggled last year on fielding the onside kick. So it's not to anybody's advantage or disadvantage. I like that element. And we're starting to see too many of those fundamental elements being stripped away for safety. Look, this is a violent sport. You're never going to totally make it safe. You're just not. As much as you might want to, you're not. And there's got to be a certain amount of violence that the fans' appetite is satiated with. You can't totally remove some of these things because, like it or not, a lot of fans like the violence, the big collisions, the speed, the power that this game's played with. They've made some radical changes to the kicking game over the last 5 to 8 years. I'm glad to see the onside kick is at least surviving one more year. I don't know. You tell me if you disagree. Did you want to see the 4th and 15 from the 25 in lieu of the onside kick? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Mark Menard back at Master Control. You answer that question. Are you glad that they shelved it, or would you want to see it?
I would definitely want to see what it looks like. You know, a lot of these things can't really be fleshed out until we've got a clear picture of, you know, what we're dealing with. And even if they just did it in the preseason and had all the teams say, you know what, there's going to be a point in the game where we want you to try it. And everybody gives it a shot. And because in the preseason, you can try things like that. I would like to see what it looks like. And look, there's been changes to this game all throughout its history. And a lot of the times, you know, people before the change can't picture what it's going to look like after the change. And then if the change is good, then it's almost like, how do we ever live without this? So I think that they're angling towards getting rid of the kickoff eventually, just because of the high-speed collisions and everything, and they're trying to find ways to keep it in the game and fix it, and this would be an alternative where if they can't come to a decision on that, then they would shelve the kickoff completely and try something like this. Now, I like the way the XFL did the kickoff, and I would like to see the NFL try that as well. I'm open to all sorts of new ideas and seeing what they look like on the field before I'm going to say outright, no thank you.
That's noble, and I can argue, too, though, that it would be neat to see teams in training camp have to focus on this, a period, because, you know, they have a two-minute period. They have a third and long period. They have a second and short period and a goal line, red zone. Now you would see them working on their fourth and 15 plays. And I think that adds to – I know this. I would give an advantage to the Saints as, in terms of play caller and designer, Sean Payton. I mean, there's very few that are going to be as creative as him. Andy Reid would be in that category. But I could argue both sides of this, Mark, I guess is what I'm saying. It would be neat to see that aspect of it, but admittedly here it's a little nostalgic for me, and I think it probably is for you when you think about how the Saints won Super Bowl 44 starting the second half with a surprise onside kick.
Well, of course, and you'd take that element out of it. But look, I think that if this was the way to go for the NFL going forward late in games, I think it would give offenses an advantage. I think you've got a better chance of converting a fourth and 15 than trying to recover an onside kick. Those are usually not that successful.
Good stuff, Mark. Thank you. Steven Lassan, college football editor at AthlonSports.com, will join us ranking the American Athletic Conference's college football coaches for 2020. Where does Tulane coach Willie Fritz stack up? Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.